Ever heard of the prevention doctrine? Sounds kind of boring, I know. But trust me on this one. This thing gets interesting. We're going deep on this Idaho case. Sullivan v. Bullock. Kitchen remodel, like goes totally south, turns into this whole legal fight, and this prevention doctrine thing is right at the center of it.
Yeah, it's wild, right? This case, like, it flips the script on how these homeowner versus contractor things usually go.
Okay, so let's get the basics. Who are these people and what went so wrong with this? What was it, like a $6,780 remodel?
So you've got Cora Sullivan, she's the homeowner, hired this guy, Dallas Bullock. He's doing business as new home development, okay? The contract, well, it wasn't exactly super detailed.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Yeah, like a recipe for problems, miscommunication, claims of, bad work, expenses they didn't agree on, delays, the whole nine yards.
Ugh, total nightmare fuel. I feel like everyone's got a story about a renovation gone wrong, right? But what was like the final straw in this case? What really set things off?
Things went really sideways when Sullivan finds out one of Bullock's workers went into her house through a window to get some work done.
Oh.
And she had told them specifically, do not enter the house if she's not there.
Okay, so she basically says, you're done, get out. Because this whole unauthorized entry thing, was that like even allowed? Legally, I mean.
And this is where the prevention doctrine thing comes in. So basically it says that if you've got a contract, right, and one person stops the other from doing their part of the deal, well, they could be the one who messed up the contract.
Whoa, okay. So it's all about who stops who.
Exactly. So the question becomes, was Sullivan right to lock Bullock out, or did she actually break the contract by doing that?
Okay, so then the big question, how did this whole prevention doctrine thing actually play out in court? Who'd the jury side with?
So the jury, they actually sided with Bullock, the contractor, gave him almost the whole remaining balance of the contract, $2,956.40. Kind of surprising because even Bullock admitted he hadn't finished everything.
Hold on, he didn't even finish the job, but still won. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The jury also decided that Sullivan stopped Bullock from finishing the work when she locked him out. So, like, her actions were what breached the contract. And because of that, Bullock was, like, off the hook for not finishing.
Classic case of two wrongs don't make a right. I bet this isn't where the story ends, though.
Oh, you're right about that. Sullivan was not happy. So she decided to appeal the decision. And this is where it gets really, really interesting, especially if you're into, like, the details of legal arguments and how they decide on damages and
So
stuff.
Sullivan appeals, right? What happens next?
The Idaho Court of Appeals, they take a good look at everything the trial court decided, especially how they came up with that damages number.
I bet everyone listening who loves those like legal aha moments, they're totally hooked right now. So what'd the appeals court say? Did they agree with the first decision?
They did agree that Sullivan was the one who stopped Bullock from finishing the work, yeah. But get this. They didn't agree with how much money Bullock got.
So they were cool with the whole prevention thing, but not with like the actual dollar amount Bullock walked away with.
Exactly. The appeals court basically said, look, the damages should put Bullock in the same financial spot he would have been in if the contract had actually been finished. You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
But, and this is key, it also has to take into account any money Bullock saved because he didn't have to finish the work.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just adding up what he's owed, it's also subtracting what he didn't spend because he got stopped from working.
You got it. The court went through the whole list, line by line, of all the stuff that was left to do, took off money for things Bullock didn't have to do anymore. Like they knocked off $1,000 for cabinets that weren't done, $800 for flooring that didn't need replacing, even $851.40 for some electrical work that Sullivan never actually gave the okay for. They even factored in a $26 credit for it. Get this, a messed up appliance payment. It's like they did this super detailed audit of the entire contract.
Wow, talk about getting into the weeds. So, what was the bottom line after all those deductions? How much did Bullock actually end up with?
Well, that original amount, the $2,956.40, yeah, they slashed that down to just 279 cents.
Oh, that's like what, a 90% drop. It really shows you how important it is to get those damages calculations right. Got to be fair to both sides, right?
Totally. The court was basically saying, we get it. Sullivan messed up the contract, but Bullock shouldn't be getting rich just because he couldn't finish the job. It's all about finding that balance, making things right for any losses, but not giving someone a freebie.
Such a good illustration of how the law tries to keep things level.
Yeah.
Nobody gets totally slammed. Nobody gets off scot-free.
Exactly. And it shows you that contract law is about sticking to the original deal, but it also has to consider all those weird curveballs that pop up along the way.
Right, totally.
But there's this other part of the case, and it makes things even more interesting.
Oh, lay it on me.
Remember how the trial court also said Bullock should get the attorney's fees? Well, now that the damages got chopped down so much, it became way less clear who the real winner was in the case, like who was the prevailing party, legally speaking. And that matters because it usually decides who has to pay for all the lawyers.
Ah, so even though Bullock technically won the first time around because Sullivan breached the contract, the fact that he only got a teeny tiny bit of what he originally wanted, that throws a wrench in things.
Exactly. The appeals court sent the case back to the trial court, you know, told them to take another look at who the prevailing party was now that the damages were so much smaller. It's kind of like they were saying, okay, so now we have a better idea of how the breach happened and how much money's actually involved. Go back and figure out who really came out on top.
Yeah, it's a whole other level to this, doesn't it? Now it's not just about who broke the contract, but who really won in the end.
Right. This case, it's not just some simple good guy versus bad guy story. It makes you think about all the little details of contract law and how complicated it can be to sort out damages in a way that's fair to everyone involved.
So, okay, big picture time.
Yeah.
What's the main takeaway for everyone listening? What can we all learn from this whole locked door, you know, legal drama?
I think, honestly, the biggest thing, especially if you're thinking about any kind of renovation, homeowner, contractor, whatever, is to be super, super clear about everything. Like, communication and that contract, man, get it detailed.
Yeah, that makes total sense. That contract needs to have it all. What work's getting done? How are you paying? Even, like, who's allowed on the property? That can save you so many headaches later on.
Exactly. Sullivan v. Bullock, right. That whole thing started with something as simple as a worker going in through a window and boom, huge legal mess.
It really shows you got to know what you're allowed to do, what you're responsible for in that contract. Both sides got to understand like what actually breaks the deal and what you can do about it, legally speaking.
And it's a good reminder too, right? Even if you win in court, it might not feel like a win, you know, especially when you think about all those legal fees and who the court says is the prevailing party at the end of it all. The system tries to be fair, but it can get like insanely complicated.
You know, going back to how this all started, one thing that really stuck out to me was that first contract. It wasn't very specific, was it? Do you think that's part of why Sullivan and Bullock ended up having so many problems?
Oh yeah, for sure. I bet that lack of detail caused a whole bunch of misunderstandings and arguments.
Makes you think, what if they'd spent more time up front, like really hashing out all the specifics, maybe some extra drawings, a super detailed list of materials, could have saved them a whole lot of trouble.
Absolutely. It's a lesson for anyone starting a project, right? Take your time, get it all in writing, make sure everyone's on the same page about what's expected, and have a good way to communicate. Might seem like a pain at first, but it could save you from a legal nightmare later.
So, bottom line, if your renovation goes off the rails, remember Sullivan v. Bullock. Clear contracts, talk to each other, and know your rights. That's how you stay out of trouble.
And one last thought to leave everyone with. Imagine you were the judge in this case. How would you have decided on the damages? And who did you think was the real prevailing party? It's a question that really makes you think about all those tricky little details of contract law and how tough it can be to make things truly fair in the legal system. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you on the next one.